And welcome to South Church. My name is Lauren Smith, and I have the joy and privilege of serving this congregation as one of its two settled ministers, along with my husband, Chris Holton Jablonski. We are together on a very special day, a day on which we celebrate community in so many ways. First, we get to hear reflections from a group of nine of us in South Church who traveled to Nicaragua just 2 weeks ago to learn about communities of women and people in general who are transforming the experiences, the lives of so many people down there. It's really pretty extraordinary. So we get to do that. Also, today marks the beginning of Chris and my sabbatical, which is a really extraordinary moment in the life of the congregation in this community. And I have lots of hopes for what emerges for you all from that time. So it's good to be together. And I just have a couple of announcements. One is that Seacoast Family Promise is a wonderful organization that allows us to host temporarily homeless families in our parish hall. We will be hosting. The dates are different than what were printed in your order of service. So if you have questions about that, please seek out the Social Justice Associates table or one of the SFP conveners and find out more about that. It's a great way to serve. And one sort of technical thing about the service. Usually the kids start upstairs and we sing them out about 15, 20 minutes into the service. Today, we'd like the kids to participate in the leave-taking ritual. So the kids are starting downstairs and will come up for the end. So kids are always welcome to stay with us in the sanctuary, but know that RE is starting now at the beginning of the service instead of a little later. And lastly, just thank you to all of the folks who have worked so hard to prepare for sabbatical. I especially want to lift up Pito Kaizen, the sabbatical committee chair, and Lori Bilby, the Committee on Ministry convener, and so many people who work so hard to ensure that the ship will sail just right during our sabbatical. So now if you would rise and turn to one another and say good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Katz, and as we enter this sabbatical season, I will be your contact person for making Sunday announcements. In case you're not aware, there are guidelines to announcements. Specifically, announcements should be related to church programming. They should be briefer than this one even, and the point is to simply steer folks to the order of service or something down a coffee hour, something like that, for more information and more detail. A good way to look at it in this Super Bowl season is I'm going to watch the game on Sunday. I'm going to enjoy the advertisements, but I'm really there to see a good game. So it's that balance that we want to bring to church worship as well. So please send me email requests. The email address is in your order of service today as how to contact me so that I can help create a good balance of announcements and worship. Thank you.
Do you want me to stay here? This could be my job too.
Well, I won't read my whole note here. I'm Louise Hirschberg. I'm with the Social Justice Committee. And I will talk very fast. Today is the very last day to sign up for nominations for the shared plate. So please sign them up, and you can sign up as many times as you want. And the other really important announcement is that today at 2, from 2 to 4 at the Trape School, is going to be a wonderful dialogue between two women for the Racially Social Justice Program, and we have all the information at our table, so please come there.
Thank you. Good morning. Do you think diversity is important? Okay. Let's support it. It's so wonderful to have our South Church folk group here today who sounds so great. I love it. They made me miss a cue in the first service, but I'm not going to do it in the second service. Really sounded wonderful. So this week we have folk music. Next week we have a symphony brass quintet. And the week after that we have Motown plus pop. So if you want diversity, this is the church to be at. Diversity needs to be supported, as you know. So next week, the brass quintet from the Portsmouth Symphony Orchestra will be here. They don't come cheap, but they come free next week, and I'll tell you why. Because we're going to support them in a concert they're doing here February 24th. If you come to that concert and buy that ticket, they'll say, oh, I think we'll come back and play at South Church again. The tickets are right now downstairs. It's part of a Leonard Bernstein centennial celebration. So they'll play Bernstein plus classical, Renaissance to contemporary. There's information in there, tickets downstairs, but get them fast and support Adam Gallant and the Portsmouth Symphony Orchestra Brass Quintet. Thank you.
Hi, and I'm Myra Aronson from the Fellowship Associates. So if you are feeling a little anxious about the ministers being away, you need have no fear, because when the cat's away, the mice will play. So on March 3rd in Parish Hall from 6 to 9 p.m., Fellowship Associates will be organized an all-church potluck. There will be lots of games for all ages, and we are hoping that there will be some live music, and it'll just be a great way for us to get together and get to know each other and continue our good spirits. So look for the Evite. It'll be coming soon.
Today, our service will hold two parts, a return and a leave-taking. First, the return. For the second year in a row, members from South Church, through the UU College of Social Justice, traveled to Nicaragua, and for a week, 7 strong days, learned from, listened closely to, and walked with some truly remarkable people. My daughter Sophia and I are part of this returning South Church group, what the women of FEM called a delegation. I grew to like the word, and that FEM used it to describe us. It reflects how FEM accept how we all move in the world, as people who are chosen or given the job to act, to vote, to teach, to represent, to take on the authority of being present, and so conceive the dignity of understanding a history, a community, a self. In the voices you hear today, listen for the full harmony of this journey, beautiful and blunt, ambitious and open-hearted, and deeply, deeply uncomfortable. The second part of the service will be the leave-taking ritual, when we, the congregation, send Reverends Lauren Smith and Chris Holton Jablonski off to begin their 4-month sabbatical. Both Reverends Lauren and Chris have led trips to Nicaragua, Lauren this year and Chris the last. And if I get the pattern right, returns followed by leave-takings are followed by returns. So while you are sabbatically away, I will think of you both like this, as stepping out onto a wooden floor, your hands held in the warm welcome of another human, fueled by many, many shallow plastic cups of dark, sweet coffee, and the deeper understanding of what it means to live your principles in this strong and delicate world, you dance. Moving in rhythm with time's tight embrace and the persistent and wise necessity of self-care, you dance. Returning here to us, waiting for you, with the feast of your sweet life upon your lips and under your feet. Good morning. Welcome to South Church. My name is Rebecca Hennessy, and I am one of your worship associates, fortunate to assist our ministers, and for the next 4 months, guest ministers and fellow congregants in worship. A special welcome if this is your first time to South Church. If you have questions, look for people with name tags hided in yellow with the words, "Ask Me." There will be leave-taking refreshments and conversation in the parish hall, after the service. As you heard, religious education classes have already started, and the kids will come back for the leave-taking. And we do have a nursery downstairs for kids under the age of 4. The music today is provided by South Church Folk, and our chalice will be lit by Kirsten Hunter, our religious education director. Kirsten has been a leader in the effort to provide immersion service and learning opportunities for youth and adults. In all, she's been a part of 14 trips: Maine, Ohio, New Orleans, West Virginia, Belize, and Nicaragua. Her sons, Riley and Keeley, may think this number to be a little different. I understand. Kirsten is a person dearly missed when she isn't nearby. Please rise in body or in spirit for our mission statement printed in your order of service. At South Church, we nurture spiritual growth. Please stay standing for our opening hymn, number 1000, "Morning Has Come."
Hi, my name is Sophia. 2 weeks ago, I traveled with a group of South Church women to Nicaragua. We were there to witness the work of people fighting for human rights, women's rights, and ecological sustainability. In our preparation for the trip, we learned about Nicaragua's history, which has been marred by war and political upheaval, devastated by Western economic and military intervention. As we prepared to go, we tried to look at our own blind spots, to think about what it means to be Americans, and particularly what it means to be Americans traveling to Nicaragua as a social justice delegation. We began our time in the capital city, Managua. There, we attended a lecture by an American historian who helped us to understand more fully the country's political history and the lasting impact of war. From a local sociologist, we learned about coffee production. Coffee and tobacco are Nicaragua's two most important agricultural exports. We spent a life-changing morning with a woman named Yamilet, who grew up in a municipal dump, raising her younger siblings amidst unfathomable poverty. She is now a community leader who fights to improve the lives of people being born into very similar experiences. She is a teacher, a health advocate, a mother, a grandmother, and it is difficult to convey to you the incredible strength and love that this woman shared with us during our visit. Our group then traveled north from Managua to Estelí and on to farming communities in the mountains beyond. There, we learned about the work of FEM, an organization dedicated to empowering women living in campos, small farming communities. We picked coffee berries and got to experience directly the process by which beans are clean, selected, and ready for sale. FEM, like many of the justice organizations in Nicaragua, began its work during the time of the Nicaraguan Revolution. The energy of that time is still visible in the advocates who continue to struggle for economic opportunity and human rights. The women of FEM band together to improve the lives of women through ideological empowerment, ecological empowerment, and organizational empowerment. The scope of their work includes violence prevention, healthcare access, literacy, reproductive health, and an extensive network of organic farming cooperatives that provide economic autonomy. Our service today will, we hope, give you a glimpse into some of what we have learned on this journey. Thank you for joining us.
This is a poem titled Mujeres. I was home three nights when I dreamt about women climbing a hillside to an open pavilion and walking in one by one with the fabric of their skirts filled with power. It was as though they had learned a long-lost art. The power was there to harvest. It was scattered all around like dust. But it had been so long since they'd seen it gathered in any quantity, so long since they'd realized it was there for the taking to anyone who thought to start sweeping the grains into a pile. And when they worked together, those piles could grow, could be molded into shape, into tools and tables, and anything, really. And their sons and daughters watched from behind their mother's strong legs, or from the edge of the circles where the women gathered to talk. And through the children's eyes, there was a new understanding, too. They would know. Like their mothers, to sweep together the dust as it shifted at their feet, to collect it in the shadows of the great looming walls that before seemed to keep them all bound.
I'm Janice Wallach. Indoor bathrooms are not a part of life in the rural villages we visited. And on the third day of our trip, I had an unusual encounter in a latrine. This latrine was behind the community center in a small village where we met people who told us about living through the Somoza regime, the Sandinista revolution, the Contra War, and all that has transpired since. The latrine was a composting toilet. It was very clean. I went there for the usual purpose, ascended a couple of wooden steps, latched the door with a wire loop, and pulled down my pants and lowered myself as we all must do. And now I pause to ask you, what is the worst thing you could imagine happening next? And I will tell this quickly because it happened really fast. Something from below rose up and thumped me on the butt. And I yelled, and I leapt up, and out of the toilet emerged a bird. Now, if you ever have the honor of taking a journey like the one we took to Nicaragua, I do hope you have a moment that makes your local hosts laugh really hard when you tell them about it. The people we met that day had seen prolonged conflict and war and suffered great personal losses, but they knew how to laugh and not just at me. And I hope you learned something new about our relationship with nature. Apparently, birds are attracted to the salts and minerals in latrines. One of our traveling companions knew that. I also hope you feel humbled, and not by a latrine, but by meeting people who have responded to hardship and injustice with such vigor and grace. And I hope you can feel at least once in your life the intense and wonderful relief when an event that causes a sudden piercing fear turns out to be a bird.
Thank you, Janice, for the laugh. I really appreciate it. Good morning. My name is Lily. The wind from the opening doors at the airport brushes my face with a warm, sweet, muggy air. I am greeted by our two group leaders as we board the bus for a silent bus ride through the city of Managua. I am overcome with emotions of excitement and despair. I am embarking on this beautiful journey, but is the lesson beautiful? Driving through the city, I notice the houses are gated and locked, tucked in away from the roads, covered in shade. Homes look to be abandoned, but in fact have people residing there as shelter. The destruction is eye-opening and alarming. I question my own life and count my blessings. The energy in the air grows lighter and heavier as the week continues, ranging from the personalities of the people we encounter to the heaviness of the topic of that moment. I can hear the strength in the voices of the women I meet. The women articulate their livelihood and past experiences with passion and empowerment. As my mind begins to process the stories, I begin to relate them to my own life experiences and draw strength from these women. The effort made by the community of women standing up for their rights is creating a ripple in the world of abuse. I am honored to have the opportunity to meet with these women who have become influential leaders, agricultural goddesses, and community healers. Despite the oppression, women are creating beauty and light for the generations to come. I will always remember a quote from one of my leaders, Gina, "The river still flows at night." How can I spread awareness? I vow to tell the stories and accomplishments of these women wherever I go. To let it be known, now is the time to rise in community and change for the better. Thank you.
Lyrics of the song, One Voice. This is the sound of one voice.
I've lost my space.
Then voices two, then three. This is the sound of all of us, singing with love and the will to trust. At the center of the song is a yearning for social connection, equality, and renewed awareness that we all need and maybe even enjoy each other. Voices connect and respond to voices, crossing boundaries and crossing borders, transforming power structures in an invitation to build a closer care and an opening for peace. South Church folk sang this song to Reverends Lauren and Chris when they were called to serve South Church. The group returning from Nicaragua sang it to our hosts in Los Llanos, and South Church Choir will sing it again today. Listen for the sound of generosity. The offering will now be gratefully received.
You're invited to join. You'll see in an insert in your order of service for the last two verses. So after we do the ooh section, you're all invited to rise and join us. This is the sound of one voice, one spirit, one voice, the sound of one who makes a choice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of voices too. Sound of me singing with you, helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices three, singing together in harmony, surrendering to the mystery. This is the sound of sound of voices three.
Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. We're all gathered here and those far away. For this time we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day.
I just want to say thank you again to South Church folk for singing that particular song. It's at the heart of my own prayer and aspiration for congregational life and who we are as a community. So it is a sweet addition to the day. I invite you now into a time of meditation and prayer. Allow your body to settle into your pew. Your breath to drop down into your belly, and your attention to rest just here, in this sacred space, in this sweet company, receiving the good gifts of this hour, receiving the good gifts of this sanctuary, peace, connection, challenge, consolation. We'll pause in this space of quiet receiving for a little while together. Into this quiet, we offer the names of those we hold dear. We continue to hold in prayer Jean and Henry Altenberg, Judith and Peter Randall, as they navigate medical challenges. May healing and strength be theirs, and may they feel always the love and the support of this community. Today, our hearts are full once again at the news of yet another school shooting. Spirit of life and love, guide us in the way of health and wholeness. Guide us in our sorrow and in our anger. Grant us the courage and wisdom we need to transform our society. And may each of those affected by this tragedy be touched by peace. This day and always, we offer a prayer of gratitude for all we have been given. We give thanks especially for the gift of community and its miraculous power to divide our sorrows and multiply our joys. Amen. And now I invite you to stay seated and join in singing our next hymn, number 123, Spirit of Life.
I'm Laurie Bilby. It's just a cup of coffee. It's just hot water poured over ground roasted beans that come from the ripe cherries of coffee plants grown under shade trees on the steep mountainsides of northern Nicaragua. It's just a matter of strapping on a basket and picking those cherries one by one, being careful not to pull off the tender stem from the plant, then pouring the full basket over and over again into a bigger sack, carrying the sacks down the mountain trail, dumping the cherries into 5-gallon pails to determine the yield and hence your pay for the day's picking, to then dump them on a tarp and sort out any unripe ones. It's just a matter of dumping those pails of cherries into the hopper of the dehuller and hand cranking the machine to strip the hulls off and let the beans, 2 per cherry, fall into a pile. It's just a matter of taking those slimy beans to a washing station in another town and swishing them around in a trough with a couple of wooden oars until the precious water runs clean, and then washing those beans down onto drying racks where they can again be sorted, picked through for imperfections, because only the good ones get sent on for drying, for blending, for bagging and labeling and exporting. It's just the hands and legs and backs and faces and hearts of a lot of beautiful and tired and determined women trying to protect and better themselves and their families by organizing and producing this product in ways that feed rather than diminish our planet. It's just a cup of coffee.
In Nicaragua, I had the honor and privilege to witness the work of campesinas, peasant women and men, who are committed to improving the life of all in their communities as they advocate for change to impact human rights and climate change. The love, passion, courage, and connection to all in their community was like nothing I've experienced in my many years. To hear of their trauma, much of it experienced from the wars which were incited and financed by my government, was wrenching. We sat, listened, learned for days, connecting with their soulful eyes, their open hearts, and their formidable spirit, feeling the intensity of their love for their communities and their fight for family and self. To have the right to farm their land and have their own money, to have the right to have a say over their own bodies, to be protected against violence, to protect their environment, to have a right to their own destiny, to have a dream to have a well for water. The moment seared into my being was from the words of the woman in blue. I don't know her name, I wish I did. As we sat at FEM together, the question was posed as to what message the campesinas wish for us to take back to our communities. A young woman began a response, speaking of her quest to learn English, better herself by learning more skills, and moving ahead in life. As she spoke, many of the faces of the campesinas were stoic, giving no clue what they were thinking. The young woman finished. There was a pause, and the woman in blue sat up straight, leaning towards our group. I don't speak Spanish, and there was no need for an interpreter. The intensity of her words and her face said it all. She spoke from her heart and her soul. Organize, maintain your dignity and roots in your community. Respect each other's beliefs. Organize. Muchas gracias, loving, courageous goddesses. You taught us well.
I was a little bit jealous of Gina, one of the women who traveled with us to Nicaragua. I was jealous because Gina always got the last word. On group trips, it's important to keep track of everyone, moving from place to place, filing on and off the bus, we needed a reliable way to check in. And instead of counting off, as one often does on these trips, we created a group sentence. Each of us had one word, and if the sentence was complete, we all knew we were there. And it went, together we believe change happens when we make a conscious effort to fill in the blank. My word was happens. Gina had the last word, which she meant that she got to fill in whatever she wanted at the end. Visit a volcano, she said in Managua, which we did. Listen to Yamilet, she hollered once from the back seat. And get enough sleep, she said another night. There's power in the word. There's agency. The women we met in Nicaragua faced extraordinary challenges, crushing political and social headwinds. The miracle of their work is that they authored their own vision of how life should be, grounded in their own values. They placed sustainability of life at the center of their struggle to create economic opportunity for campesinas, advocate for public health, education, and human rights. They placed sustainability of life at the center of their practice of ecologically sound farming that makes so much possible. The women we met in Nicaragua, Juana, Isabel, Yamilet, Gloria, Juanita, Graciela, helped call a movement into being with the power of their vision, their steadfast courage, and their word. They joined their voices to speak their truth, and they worked together to manifest it. One night, in a little city called Esteli, our group participated in a short worship service. Each of us reflected on all that we had heard from our hosts in the recent days, and we wrote down on slips of paper the words that had particularly rung for us, had particularly stuck with us. And then we went around the circle and read them aloud, each quote separated by a period of silence and a makeshift bell made of a metal water bottle and a pencil. We paused to listen to what we had heard. We paused to reflect. And in the listening and the reflecting, each of us was indelibly altered. This morning, it feels right to give the women of Nicaragua the last word. I think Gina would approve. May you receive their words as a blessing and a teaching, just as we have. Laura and Sophia will speak, and after they do, there'll be a brief silence ended by a bell, and we'll end it all by sounding the bell three times.
Alone, we are invisible. Together, we are visible. When we're organized, we become visible. Graciela.
Yo decido cuando, cuanto y con quien. I decide when to have children, how many, and with whom. Gloria.
We are a wing under which women can find shelter and safety as they explore their sexuality. Juana.
Ideological, economic, and organizational empowerment are all needed for a radical shift in power. Juana.
three times heroic. Because of organization, first, women recognize violence. Second, women will not put up with it. Third, women say, no is no. Evelyn.
Women were the first growers of food. We are organized women, which helps us see that we can do more. We can replant the seeds that were taken away from us. Lillian.
If I don't live to serve, it doesn't serve to live. Yamilet.
We are not born strong, nor are we born wise. Experience makes us strong. History makes us wise. Yamilet.
¿Dónde están las mujeres?
Aquí.
Where are the women?
Here.
Gloria.